Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And as members of Congress leave Washington for the 4th of July recess, Senate Republicans have yet to agree on a bill to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. On Twitter this morning, President Trump wrote, "If Republican senators are unable to pass what they're working on now, they should immediately repeal and then replace at a later date." That tweet from the president, not the one getting all the attention this week. We'll get to that.
Yes, we will. Joining us, Juana Summers, senior writer for CNN Politics. Hi, Juana.
Hey, guys.
And Ron Elving, senior Washington editor and correspondent at NPR. Hi, Ron.
Hello.
And Ron, let's start with the president's tweet today about health care reform. He tweeted about immediately repealing. This was right after Senator Ben Sasse made somewhat the same comment on Fox and Friends. He was talking about repealing parts of Obamacare. But the president said immediately repeal the whole thing. And someone tweeted back at him on Twitter, "Why should the American people suffer because you and your party are unable to come up with a plan?" So what is going on? Because it is thought if there's immediate repeal, people won't be covered.
Well, there will be a period of time before the immediate repeal would actually be immediate, before it would actually take effect. They would create some kind of a buffer zone of months, perhaps a year. And so Obamacare would, of course, remain in place after having been repealed in effect until that date had arrived. Now, what has happened at this point is mostly the leadership has thrown up its hands in exasperation because this was their original plan. Their original plan was to immediately repeal Obamacare back in January and then have a period of time for implementation and come up with some kind of a replacement in those months. Now, all of this time has been spent futilely coming up with a bill that passed in the House largely on the promise that the Senate could fix it, and now the Senate can't come up with anything at all. So they're all the way back to square one at a time when it's much less feasible because we're deep into the year and the rules are going to change as we get into the fall. It's going to be that much more difficult to pass it with a simple majority in the Senate.
Well, Ben Sasse tweeted back to President Trump, "Yes, let's do that. And let's get rid of summer recess in August, work 6 days a week to write a replacement." Is he serious?
He is serious. I think he would do it. I think he would give up his August and he would work 6 days a week and he would be glad to have an up or down showdown vote on Labor Day. But how many other senators and members of the House are able or willing to make that same commitment? And where's the guarantee that even under those draconian conditions, they could actually come up with the agreement that's eluded them so far?
Well, and the bill that we're talking about right now that they presented and that they got a Congressional Budget Office score on would leave, according to the CBO, 22 million people uninsured. Let's listen to President Trump at the White House on Wednesday.
"So we're working very hard on health care, and I think we're going to have a great answer, and hopefully we're going to have it soon. And we will keep you informed. Thank you all very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. President, are you concerned about the Medicaid cuts in the health care bill?
It's going to be great. This will be great for everybody."
He says it's going to be great for everybody. We spoke with Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas, where they did expand Medicaid under Obamacare. He's got real concerns about how many people would lose coverage. Juana, what happens now with the Senate bill?
I think that what we've seen from the president today has really caused a lot more confusion about what will actually happen. Senators have come back to the drawing board. Obviously, they're not in Washington today. They've gone home for the holiday recess. I want to turn back to one thing that Ron said. I think that Senator Sasse certainly may be willing to stay in August. The other issue is with what the president has proposed and just repealing now, replacing later. That is hugely unpopular among Republicans. CNN did a survey back in March, and less than 20% of Americans said they favored repealing parts of the bill without a replacement on the table. I think that makes a very delicate political environment that these senators and lawmakers head back to their districts and face, and it makes the pressure just even more ratcheted up on them to figure this out and to come up with something palatable for people who do fear losing that coverage.
Well, and NPR had a poll out this week that shows just 17% of Americans favor the Republican bill.
That's right. And there are even worse polls for the Senate bill. The USA Today Suffolk University poll had the approval down at 12%. The problem for Republicans is that the 12% of a 17%, whatever it is, those people are all Republican primary voters, and they really expect that repeal to be done. That was a promise made to them for the last 7 years.
Okay, well, then there was the matter of yesterday and the Mika Joe tweet. Look, this is Donald Trump's really stunning tweet that came out early in the morning attacking Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough, co-hosts, fiancés of Morning Joe on MSNBC. Apparently, she had said something about how his tweets reveal, you know, his dark underbelly. And he came out with that tweet attacking her, saying they both begged to be with him at Mar-a-Lago. And he said no, because her face was bleeding from a facelift. As we heard, and we'll hear again right now, reaction came in from both sides of the aisle. Here's House Speaker Ryan O'Neill calling the tweets inappropriate.
Look, what we're trying to do around here is improve the tone and the civility of the debate. And this obviously doesn't help do that.
And how do you
I leapt back in time there. I think I called him Ryan O'Neill, House Speaker Paul Ryan. And here's Texas Democrat Sheila Jackson Lee. She said Trump should resign.
The people seek not to have kings or queens, but they seek to have an office of the presidency that can be trusted. Today, Mr. Trump, you have ceased to have the trust of the American people.
Look, Juana, jump in here. People are saying there was just, you know, from both sides of the aisle, but some people are saying not enough from at least one side of the aisle, the Republican side. How do you think this is playing out?
Well, first of all, I have to say that while I think the comments are reprehensible and inappropriate, they didn't really surprise me. We've heard President Trump, when he was candidate Trump, speak about women's appearances. It was Megyn Kelly and the blood coming out of wherever. It was Carly Fiorina and look at that face. This is language we're used to. But I do think that among some Republicans, we're hearing Maine Senator Susan Collins being one of them, that there is a question as to whether or not Trump is damaging not just his presidency, but meaning the office which he holds, and sending bad signals to those around the country and around the world about what the American presidency means. And furthermore, this is a moment where he is using the bully pulpit to make commentary about a media host's appearance rather than using it to champion his legislative agenda. And I wonder if there are folks in the White House who are hoping to kind of right the ship and encourage him to maybe focus on the health care bill that we were just talking about, as opposed to maybe Mika Brzezinski's face and what it looks like or doesn't look like.
Well, Ron, there was also the Access Hollywood tape, which shocked everyone, but then didn't stop him from winning the presidency. There's sort of a question here about how shocked we should be by something that, as Juana said, doesn't seem shocking anymore, but at the same time, it's very different from anything we've seen from any president in the past.
Yes, in fact, that is the point. He is no longer a candidate for president. He is no longer the host of The Apprentice, as he was back when that Access Hollywood tape was made in 2005. He is now the president of the United States. And many people make the case for him saying, look, you've got to respect the office. Even if you don't like the man, you must respect the office and the executive authority of the United States, the majesty, if you will, of the office and of the entire United States. You have to reposit that in one man during these 4 years. And all people are saying, and this is Republicans as well as Democrats, all they're saying is, please, Mr. President, you should respect the dignity of that office at least that much.
Look, both Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough came back today. They wrote an op-ed in The Washington Post. They talked about, first of all, how they said Trump was lying in how he had told the story that they didn't beg to be at Mar-a-Lago, that she didn't have a facelift. She had a little something under her chin, which got a lot of us thinking, wait, what can you do under your chin? But, you know, it became very serious because the headline was they feel that he is off balance. The question I have is how far does he go, Ron? I mean, how much can a president say? And again, there's no precedent for this that I can think of. How much can a president do a personal attack before what? Before we just get so used to it that it doesn't matter anymore, or it somehow stops because of his own party asking him? What do you think happens here?
Probably the only people who can really make an impact, who can really make a difference in how he goes forward in his behavior, are his immediate family, his daughter Ivanka, his wife, his other children. The people that he holds dearest must step up to make the difference if anyone is going to be able to. Perhaps they have tried. Perhaps they have tried desperately to do exactly that. But up to now, it hasn't been effective, and it's hard to see how anyone else's opinion is going to matter to him.
Juana, we have time probably for one more topic here, and I want to get to it here. Voter fraud, the commission to investigate voter fraud. President Trump, as we know, made some unsubstantiated claims that millions of people voted illegally in November. The Kansas Secretary of State, Kris Kobach, who's a Republican and vice chair of the commission, sent a request this week to state election officials that they send all publicly available voter data to the commission before they meet in July. State officials are pushing back. What's going on here?
They are. So what Kris Kobach from Kansas is asking for is the so-called available voter roll data. So we're talking about full names of registered voters, their date of birth, party registration, last four digits of Social Security numbers. And a number of people, including Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, say that that could risk the integrity of the vote there. Mm-hmm. It could mean a sweeping change to the voting system. And they're concerned that this could, in fact, that there's no significant voter fraud. And this is essentially in search of a problem that's not actually there. We'll hear a lot from civil rights groups coming up in the near future, too, who are likely to express alarm at this as well.
Okay. That's Juana Summers, senior writer for CNN Politics. Ron Elving, senior Washington editor and correspondent at NPR. Thank you both. And we wish you both a happy 4th of July weekend.
Happy 4th.
Yeah. You too.
Happy 4th.